Our New Testament passage this morning comes from 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 21. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. That is the letter of John, not the Gospel of John, so end of the New Testament, not the beginning. 1 John chapter 4. Starting verse 7, I'm reading from the New International Version. And this passage is highlighted in my Bible, so I come to it often, as you can tell. All right, hear now the word of our Lord. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. This morning we are continuing in our Because You Asked sermon series, and I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed doing this series. It's been kind of fun for me to try to come up with satisfactory answers, and I don't claim to have done a good job in all of those cases, but I've enjoyed being able to dig into these various topics, and I hope that these sermons have been meaningful for you. Well, our question for today is one which I believe all Christians have asked at one point or another. It's one that strikes at the very heart of our mission as Christians in order to make disciples for Jesus Christ. And it's one which every believer who has loved ones in their lives who are not believers desperately seeks the answer to. And it's the question of how do we minister to those who are spiritually lost. When it comes down to the mission which God has placed on every single one of His followers through the Great Commission, the question we really need to know or answer is, how do we do it? It's easy enough for us to say that we've been commissioned to make disciples for Jesus Christ, but how exactly do we do that? It's easier said than done. Now, for some, it's a matter of simply repeating the process that someone used on them when they came to know Christ. For those who were not raised in the Christian household, the answer of how to minister to the lost comes from their own experience of once being lost, spiritually lost, but now being found in Christ. For others, the answer to this question comes from a period of time when they may have walked away from the Lord. There are those who did grow up in the church, but then walked away from the Lord for a period of time. And so for them, It's a matter of helping others to find their way back to the Lord just as they did. But then there are those of us who have grown up in the church and who've not rebelled in some great spectacular fashion. I mean, we all have those little rebellions that we have. We all have those times when temptation might get the better of us and we make those mistakes. But we've never really had that great drastic turning your back and walking away. And for those of us who have never been truly lost, spiritually speaking, this can be one of the most challenging questions to answer. How do we minister to those who we have no frame of reference, we have no experience of being spiritually lost? Now, this morning I'm going to try to provide an answer to this question, but I'll preface by saying that there's no one way to accomplish our mission of ministering to those who are spiritually lost. There's no perfect formula. There's no one way that works for every single person because everybody is different. And ultimately, each one of us are on our own unique spiritual journey, which is ultimately guided by our willingness to listen to the Holy Spirit. So what worked for us may or may not work for others. What works for one person we're seeking to minister to may not work for another person who we're seeking to minister to. So there's no one way to answer this question, but in my experience, there are three ways which I have seen bring many people to the point where they are willing to listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit on their lives and can finally make that decision to follow Christ. But I'll also remind you that it is not we ourselves who bring people to Christ. It is God. It is the Holy Spirit. We are simply the tool or the guide that He uses to bring them to that point where they're willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit has been speaking into them all along. So this morning I'm going to focus on these three specific ways in which we can minister to those who do not yet know the Lord, but these are not by any means the only ways to do it. It's just three ways that I have witnessed people finding their way home to God. Now the first way that I've witnessed is most often, in my opinion, one of the most effective ways to minister to someone who's spiritually lost is simply through the act of loving them. It's through sharing the love of God. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Above all things, it is the love of God which I believe is the greatest testimony to those who are seeking Him, whether they know it or not. I do believe that God is actively calling all people to Himself. That prevenient grace is offered to all people. He is drawing them to themselves, and whether they know it or not, all people are seeking God. They just may not know it. And there are many who think that the best way to reach someone is to try to scare them into following God. But I found that love more often is what will break through to those who are seeking Him. Like I said, there are those that believe that the way to reach the spiritually lost is to preach fire and brimstone and eternal punishment if they don't repent of their sins and turn to God. And while I cannot deny that that has worked for some, it has worked. We see evidence of it in church history and also in Scripture. I mean, it worked in Nineveh. It can work, but I do not believe that it is the way to the hearts of the many. Many of you have heard me talk about before this pastor who would come to my college campus at least once a semester. And
I always dreaded the day that he showed up because I felt like it hurt the witness of the gospel more than anything else. But he would come at least once a semester. You could almost mark your calendar by it. And he would stand on the quad with people holding signs talking about hell and judgment and sin. And he'd stand on the quad and scream at students on their way to class. And he'd scream at them and tell them that they're horrible sinners, that they're going to hell if they don't repent. And I remember this one time I was walking to class, and he singled out a female student who was admittedly wearing rather short shorts. And he told her that she was going to hell, and he knew that based off of how she was dressed. That what she was wearing was a testament to just how sinful of a person she was and how she was tempting others to sin as well. And she was going to go to hell if she didn't repent right then and there. Do you think that message did anything other than make her mad? So often I would see him standing there screaming at students, and there'd be students just standing around mocking him or arguing with him. But never once did I see him pray with a student. Never once did I hear of someone coming to the Lord because of his preaching. But yet there was another preacher who, and I'm not sure if he was a pastor or not, who I saw on campus a couple of times. One time, even when this other pastor was there screaming at people. And he simply stood quietly under a tree on campus with his Bible. And he'd read scripture aloud, and he would pray for students as they walked by. And if anyone stopped to talk to him, he'd share about the love of Christ. And he'd offer to pray for them. If they accepted, he'd stand there, he'd pray with them, and you know, the days that he was there, throughout the day, I'd see, sometimes in small groups of two or three, he'd just be standing there talking about the love of Christ and praying for them. And for some of the people that he prayed for, I'd see him offer them a hug afterwards, if they were okay with that. And I see these two different pastors, especially the one day that they were there together. One was over here making a whole lot of noise, the other was just standing over under a tree, reading scripture and praying for people. And which of these two people do you think had a greater impact on those who did not already know the Lord? Like I said, I do believe that there is a time for, or there's a time and a place for the fire and brimstone preaching, but more often than not, it is the message of God's love which will bring people to Christ. In fact, as I've shared before, that was the door into my first opportunity for real evangelism. Some of you, I've told the story before of when I was still in high school. I was in junior ROTC, and I went to a summer camp for junior ROTC, and there were college students who were part of this regular ROTC program who had already signed their contract. It was definite. They were going into the military. And they were there to kind of, look after, guide. I don't want to say babysit, but in some cases they were almost babysitting us high school junior ROTC guys. And one of the days as we were sitting there, the one that was in charge of my platoon asked all of us what we were going to do after high school. And I had already accepted my call in ministry, and I said I was going to be a pastor. And I saw the look of skepticism right away. He wasn't a believer. And this was early on in the week. And the entire week, he decided he was going to mock me. Every time I was about to do something, especially if I hesitated, he'd say, "You can do it, Jesus boy. You can do it. Jesus loves you. You can do it." And he thought he was mocking me. "Jesus boy, Jesus loves you. You can do it." And he'd keep at it. Every time, there was a lull, he'd say that, "Jesus loves you," and just kind of turn and chuckle to his buddy. And there was one day that, it was the end of the day, we were getting ready to turn in for the night, and He walked into the shower room, and I was just about to leave, and he saw me out of the corner of his eye, and he said, "Jesus loves you," and started to walk on, and I just stopped him, and I said, "You know, he loves you too." And he froze and looked at me with this very perplexed look on his face. He said, "Really?" Of course, that caught me off guard. I'm like, "Of course Jesus loves him. You know, who doesn't know that Jesus loves you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, of course he does. Jesus loves you." He said, "Even though I don't believe in him." I said, "Yes." And I saw something change right then. And from that point on, he had a different attitude. Now, I don't know what has happened to that guy. I've thought about him from time to time. I know he didn't accept Christ that week. But I saw the change, and I just hope and pray that some chaplain down the road watered that seed that God planted that day with the simple message that, yes, God loves you. Jesus loves you whether you believe in him or not. Sometimes the most powerful message we can preach is simply the love of Christ and then to show it to them. But there are times when showing them the love of Christ means speaking hard truth as well. And that brings us to the second way of ministering to the spiritually lost, which I wanted to talk about this morning, and that's through truth. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, while speaking about spiritual maturity, the Apostle Paul says, "Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ." Brothers and sisters, I want you to hear me clearly this morning that it does not do anyone any good if you deny the truth of Scripture. Denying the truth of the gospel, no matter what your intentions are, doesn't help anybody. Showing love to someone at the expense of truth will only serve to push them further into judgment. Preaching love at the expense of truth about sin and punishment is not love. And far too often I see well-intentioned Christians loving people right into hell. We are called to love people, yes, absolutely. We are also called to speak the truth to them. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And the two examples I gave about the preachers on campus, both were speaking divine and biblical truths. Yes, it's true. If you are a sinner, and you, which we all are, and you don't repent, you will go to hell. That is true. Both were speaking truth, but only one of them was speaking truth in love. In ministering to those who are spiritually lost, we must be willing to speak the truth in love. But we also have to use a little bit of discernment in when's the right time to speak those truths. We're not to deny the truth ever. But that also doesn't mean that every single conversation we have with someone who is not a believer has to be steered toward their sin and their salvation. Instead, we are to show them the love of Christ and wait for an open door to have that conversation. As the Holy Spirit softens their hearts, we will gradually see that they are more and more open to hearing this truth of love. And then when the Lord does open a door to have that deeper conversation, that is when we have to be willing to step in and speak the truth in love. And sometimes love means being blunt. The example I like to give is if you saw your brother or sister or son or daughter or someone you loved breaking into a car, the most loving thing to do would be to tell them, "Hey, don't do that. You'll go to jail." Don't call them stupid. That would be unloving. But say, "Hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? If you get caught, you'll go to jail. I don't want you to go to jail. I love you. I want what's best for you." And it's the same way in ministering to someone who does not yet know the Lord. I'm telling you this because I love you. And I know the harsh reality of what happens to those who die without knowing Christ. And I don't want that for you. I want you to come and join me in heaven. And even if they don't agree with you, they will respect the love that you have if they see that it is genuine. Wait for the right moment, and when you see that open door, speak the truth in love. Now that being said, there are times that people whose hearts have not yet been softened enough to be open to the love of Christ will point blank ask us what we believe. And at times, these questions are intended to try to trap us. They will point blank ask us if we believe that they are living in sin and if we believe that they're going to go to hell. I've had this happen to me. And in these moments, that's where we really need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to say the right things and not to be sarcastic or snarky about it, which can be very easy at times. But sometimes they'll come right up and they'll say it. Do you think that I'm going to hell? Well, do you think that what I'm doing is sin? Well, and you don't want to lie to them. You have to speak the truth. But you have to do it in love. And the vast majority of times that I've witnessed people asking these questions simply to try to trap us or confirm their preconceived notions about how unloving Christians are. See, that's another thing. If they think that Christians are just bigots and unloving people, they'll try to trap you. And so the best thing to do in that case is to prove them just how loving you actually are, even if you're not quite feeling that love for them in the moment. We're not to deny the truth of Scripture, but we can speak the truth in a way that steers the conversation not toward destruction, but rather toward the loving gospel. Yes, sin is real. Yes, unrepentant sin can lead a person to hell. But, yes, God has provided a way out for us. Yes, Jesus loves you. And by the way, so do I. May not always like you, but I gotta love you. Because Jesus cares for your soul. And we don't have it all figured out. And we don't have to have it all figured out before coming to the Lord. That's the beauty of it. I once had a guy tell me that he believed in everything the Bible said, but he wasn't quite ready to give up living in sin. And if I had known then what I know now, my answer would have been, you don't have to have your life perfect first. Quite the opposite. God knows you're not perfect. Come to Him. He'll straighten it all out for you. Accept God now. He will accept you as you are. And then He will work to transform your life to be the son or daughter that He's created you to be. But there are times when speaking the truth in love and showing someone the love of Christ is still not enough to break through their hearts of stone. And in these instances, there's only one thing left that we can do. And that is to pray. The truth is that until someone is ready to hear the truth, until they are open to receiving the love of Christ, there is nothing we can do but pray. We can love them all day long. We can speak truth to them all day long, but until they're ready to hear it and receive it, all we can do is pray. In those cases, the only one who can truly get through to them is God. It's our job to pray for them and pray that the Lord will soften their hearts and draw them to Himself. And for those of us who are action-oriented, who don't like sitting around and waiting, would much rather be out doing something, this can be the hardest thing in the world to do because we just want to do something about it, and we can't. When there's nothing we can do but pray, that can be one of the hardest things in the world to do, especially if it's someone who we're close to. When we've done everything that we can do, the only thing left is to pray. And sometimes it'll take a very long time. It might take years of praying for someone before we see the first crack in their spiritual shells. And the truth is, we may never see the fruit of our prayers with our own eyes. We never know the impact that our prayers will have. You know that a couple weeks ago I went to the church camp that I grew up going to. I went to their holiness camp. And while I was there, the song leader shared the story of his brother who had walked away from his faith. He had grown up in the church. He had walked away from the Lord. And his father spent every single day praying for him to come back. And he prayed for him morning, night, day after day after day for years and years and years until finally his father got sick and died without ever seeing his son come back to the Lord. 3 or 4 years after his father died, his father's prayers were answered and he came back to the Lord. God was at work in his life the whole time. And his father faithfully prayed for him every day, and those prayers eventually broke through, even though his father didn't live to see it. We never know the impact that our prayers can have. And so never give up. Be persistent. If there's someone that you know who is not a believer, pray for them every day. Show them the love of God every chance you have. And when God opens the door to speak truth, don't be afraid to do it. They might not listen to you, but somewhere in the back of their mind, that truth will still be there, waiting for the day when those cracks appear and they're finally willing to accept it. That's all we can do. After that, it's in God's hands. And so as we close the message, as we prepare to go to the table, I want to take a moment and I want us to pray. I'm sure that every single one of us knows at least one person who's not a believer. For some of us, they're very close and very dear. And so I'm going to pray. And in the course of my prayer, I'm going to say something along the lines of those who are on our hearts. And I want you to think about that person and say their name. You can say it out loud if you want, or you can just lift it up in your heart. God knows it. God can hear you. Bless, lift up the lost to him today because ultimately they're in his hands. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you never gave up on us even when we had gone astray. Even when we mess up, we miss opportunities, and we fail, you're still there. Your love never ends. Your love is never failing. We thank you for your great mercy that allowed us to come to you. But Lord, there are those in our lives who do not yet know you, who maybe despite years of preaching, despite years of prayer, they keep those stone defenses up. And they're not quite yet willing to lay aside their pride and to accept the gift that you have for them. Lord, we all have those people in our lives who we love and care about. and who we want desperately to come to know you. So, Lord, in this time, we lift up those loved ones of ours, those friends, those family members who don't know you. We lift them up to you. Hear their names, Lord, as we lift them up in our hearts. We love them. We want nothing more for them than to come to know you. Speak into their hearts. Speak into their lives. Soften their hearts, Lord, so that they can see the love that we have for them and the love that you have for them. Open them to hear the truth in love, that they may come to know you. Draw them to yourself, I pray. Hear the names that we lift up in our hearts, O Lord, and draw them to you. Pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.